Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man, where we like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
And I'm the Fat Man.
And we're coming at you with the finale, probably, of our review, and as deep dive as we can possibly do it. As an 80s sci-fi action movie.
Deep dive into the kiddie pool of science fiction movies from the 1980s.
Yep, definitely came up with a belly flop on this one. It's Predator. Not to be confused with The Predator, Predators, or The Predator 2, or Predator 2, or The Predator versus Aliens, or Predator versus Aliens 2, or Predator Alien Christmas Special. Last we left our intrepid heroes trouncing through the woods. Dylan went down with his arm gone. No more Carl Weathers.
No more Carl Weathers.
No more Carl Weathers. Sad. As you know, we've done this episode, or these episodes, as a tribute to Carl Weathers. Perhaps not his best movie of all time, but definitely one of the ones he was most known for, and by far the most memed about. Although, granted, it's just his arm in those memes. The arm that, in fact, just got blown off by the Predator. We have Dutch with Injured Man and Native Man and the token female in tow running out of the woods.
Right. And they come into this great big log that just inexplicably covers a chasm. And, you know, it's like the size of a redwood, but, you know, we're in South America. So redwood's totally part of South America.
Seems legit to me.
Even better than that, as Schwarzenegger's dragging the injured man across with the woman ahead of him, Native American man decides he is just going to stop in the middle of it and then channel his inner, I don't know what you want to call it, hunter instincts.
Eagle Scout.
Eagle Scout. I think that's probably the best that we could do without really taking some people off.
Let's try not to tick off everybody at the same time.
So he throws away his gun because, you know, why not?
Why not?
And take off the last remaining part of his upper clothing with the little fisherman's vest that he's got. And then turn around and just stare off into the distance.
Yeah.
All the while, a very large Austrian man is yelling him to come along.
Yeah. He takes the knife / machete. Basically short sword out of his hip holster and proceeds to cut himself across the chest. I don't know why. I'm not sure.
I mean, I could speculate, but not being an anthropologist, I don't think it would be correct to do so.
Yeah, in just a pure showcase of badassery and telling the creature, you know, come and get me, I guess. You know, I'm going to stand my ground on this log here. I also find it funny he throws away his pack
right
first. And I'm like, why not just give that to Dutch?
Like, other people could use that, you know. Same thing with the gun. Other people could use those things.
Yeah. I know Dutch isn't letting the girl touch the guns because he kicks it out of her hand like twice.
To be fair, it is one of the things that always drives me nuts in any sort of action movie. Is the kind of the opposite, you know, when the heroes are walking past all the bad guys that they just shot, they haven't had a gun in forever and they finally get a hold of one. And then after they're done shooting this room of bad guys, they throw the gun down and walk past the others instead of, I don't know, like every other normal person be like, ooh, lots of ammo. Great. I got my protection that I need.
Yeah, it's like the exact opposite of every game ever, right? Yes. Where you shoot up a room of people and then you loot the bodies.
Every nerd that's played video games since the 1980s has been like, yeah, why aren't you picking up the ammo, dude?
Yeah, I always find myself short on ammo when shooting zombies, so I'm picking up every last bit of it. Doesn't matter where I find it.
But then I digest. Schwarzenegger and his little ragtag group running through the jungle and suddenly, out of nowhere, Predator shoots a blue laser beam right in the side of the injured man's head. Because, you know, go for the the hard target, air quotes.
Yeah.
You know, the one that's being dragged around.
Well, previous to that, we get the Predator's view as he comes up to Native American man on the log, right?
Right.
And we see Native American man, I don't know, we don't see it. We see it from the Predator's perspective, right? It's right. In Predator view. He's making those weird clicking noises.
Yes.
With the music.
According to the subtitles, it's a wickering sound.
A wickering sound.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what the hell that means either.
Whatever the hell. I mean, is that wicker? Is it like when you're making a wicker basket? Is that the no wickering?
I don't know.
I'm going to say yes. So,
you're wickering. The one with a college degree. You tell me.
Yeah, I did not. Unlike many of my fellow athletes, I did not take underwater basket weaving as an elective in kinesiology.
I think you're lying to our listeners here. You weren't an athlete in college. You were barely one in high school.
I was on the, not the A&M swim team, but I, not an NCAA team, but I was on the, what do they call it, the USAA team or USA team or USS, US swimming team. So shove it.
I think you're making that up.
You know, believe what you want. Anyways.
Well, this is the internet. I can.
Yeah, that's true. Believe whatever I want. Internet. Yeah, so we get the Predator coming up to him, and then we get nothing. Like, which is sad, because I wanted to watch this play out.
We've seen everybody else get killed at this point. And so it just seems like everything leading up to his assumed death is kind of pointless. Like, there was no fight scene. It was like you were building up for this warrior to have this big showdown, and then nothing.
Yeah, I wonder if something, if they just didn't want to do the fight, or they couldn't get the fight right, or what, or if they
probably budget.
Yeah, so it's ultra sad. All you get to hear of Johnny Indian here is the scream, and that's the end of him. And Dutch frantically, you know, we gotta go. And then the blue bolt out of nowhere kills the injured guy, which I know progressively through the mythology built out around this movie and the Predators, supposedly there is a big honor system. A, you don't kill unarmed opponents. B, you don't kill.
Well, in fact, Dutch mentions it as they're going into the woods. You know, she went to go pick down the gun. He's like, no.
Yeah.
He didn't attack you last time because you were unarmed. You know,
yeah.
There's no skill in it, or there's no honor.
Yeah. No sport.
Yeah. Sport. That's it.
I kind of feel like this movie is very much a, like when they made the Predator, he was very much just like a killing machine. Not a machine, but he was going to kill all of them. It didn't really matter how, he just wanted to kill them. That very much display, like, there's no sport in it. And then at the end, what we get at the end with his laughter, and the, you know, square mile of destruction.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm throwing out my morals since I'm about to die.
Right. The mythology built out around these things is supposedly they're high honor creatures. And like, if the opponent's unarmed, you don't attack them. Or if the opponent doesn't have a gun, then you don't use your guns. You only use the claws or whatever. So it doesn't make a lot of sense that he just blows away this obviously injured guy.
Right. Especially when he's going to leave the healthy woman alive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, shoots the injured guy in the side of the head. He's dead. He was already half dead anyway. So another attack was just going to do him in.
Yeah.
And then he blasts Dutch on the right side. Yeah. Right side.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get our famous line coming up here. He tells the woman, run, go. Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. The chopper. Get to them. The chopper. Chopper. Get to the chopper. Run. Get chopper to the chopper. Run. I mean, he only says it once, but still. Like I said, this movie is just chock full of one-liners. Every 10 minutes, we get another one-liner. We're going to get another one before this is over. Like, that's probably the most famous one. Not the most memed, obviously, the two arms, you know, meeting in the middle with the, you son of a, that's the most memed.
Kill it, you son of a.
Yeah, but get to the chopper, now, run, now, get to chopper, get, now, run. And then he falls off a mountain.
Well, first he takes a 10-mile hike in which the predator apparently can't catch up to him.
Yeah.
And even though he just blasted his entire right side. So, you know, he's feeling quite a bit of pain and able to somehow run through the woods with some precision.
It's that super Austrian adrenaline kicking in, apparently.
And he slides halfway down the mountain. And the best part is when he comes over the ledge, you clearly see the ground straight down from him.
Right.
And yet he still lands in the water at 50 feet from the base.
Yeah.
Like, and you're looking at it like, oh, now it's straight down into the water.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what he says as he goes over the edge. It's like,
oh, shit.
Oh, shit. And a fall like that, pretty good chance it's going to incapacitate you or kill you, even if you hit the water. From the height it shows, that's a long way down.
Assuming that it's deep enough down there anyways.
Yeah, right.
And then,
you know, just belly flop.
And then we find he falls into the water and then he starts swimming. And swimming.
No snakes, no crocodiles.
Right, you know.
No jungle critters like you would think you would find in a large body of water like this.
And see, he's swimming to shore here. I'm not sure what he's looking at because clearly the predator's not there, but he comes up to shore and he plops face down into the mud.
Figured this is probably a good time to take a rest. Take it easy.
Have a smoke.
Get a breather.
Maybe some blow if you can do that. Oh, wait. Oh, crap. Something just splashed in the water. This huge thing. Oh, thank God I landed face down in the mud. Oh, he's not going to see me with all this mud, you know. This mud's going to cover up all my warm body temperature from, you know, advanced technology heat sensors. Oh, you know what's going to be even better? I'm going to hug these tree roots. I'm just going to show off my impeccable pecs. That'll disguise me even more.
My impeccable mud-covered pecs.
That's right.
As I get all muddy, all in the mud. I really have to question, like, what... Like, I know Predator 2 establishes the vision thing that the Predator uses as being, like, heat signature vision.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they try and trap him in that cold room.
Right.
So he can't see the people. But I call kind of BS on it. Like as I'm watching it, it does not appear to be heat signature.
Right. Otherwise, everything would be red.
Right. Exactly. Because it's 90 something degrees.
Yes.
Right. Like, it's your body. In fact, the human being would be cold in comparison, would not show up as the hot thing. I actually think it's some sort of bone detection technology. Because especially like we get in the later scene, he lifts Schwarzenegger up and he's looking right at his face.
Mm-hmm.
It basically, you just see his skull.
Skull, right. Like,
his nose is completely black. So I actually think this vision is some sort of bone detection thing. And somehow the mud throws that off. Which I don't really know why or how. I don't know why.
Right, like, is it lead-based mud? I mean,
yeah, dirt versus clothing works better.
Is this place heaven for kids who like to eat paint chips? I mean,
delicious lead. It's so soft in my mouth.
Did you eat paint chips when you were a child? Why?
Why?
Of course, the thing can still see a rodent that's underneath in the middle of like a rotted out log, because that's what it detects instead of him.
Yeah.
Where are the rules here, guys? I just want the rules.
I just want some consistency. Am I asking for too much for my 80s action sci-fi movie?
It's like we're watching God's process on how he made the platypus.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we'll get to that when we get to the creature taking its mask off and we start to dissect the anatomy of this thing. Just a little bit here.
You couldn't tell. Yeah. The Schwarzenegger covered in mud was somehow able to camouflage himself from the Predator, and the Predator goes jumping off into the woods for, I honestly, I don't know what. I mean, I don't know. Where's he going?
Yeah, so he kills the rodent. And, you know, he's standing like a couple feet away from Schwarzenegger, and Schwarzenegger's like, he can't see me. So he kills the rodent and then he hops off to go rip the skull out of somebody's body, whoever's body was left. Oh, by the way, I caught an inconsistency earlier on. You know, when he kills Mac by shooting him in the head and like literally blowing his head apart.
Well, you'd think so. But like you said, then the next scene you see that Dylan sees is Mac's head.
Is Mac's head. So, but like in the scene before it, it blows apart like a grapefruit in a Gallagher comedy act. Just comically explosive head blowing up scene.
Yeah.
If you've never seen Gallagher, that's what YouTube is for.
It's all in fun, right?
He's ready for everything until he brought the Jello out. So anyways, he kills this rodent and then he goes on and you know, he's getting somebody's skull and spine. I don't know whose, but he's collecting that trophy.
Well, first we see Dutch get up and survey his surroundings and then decide he's going to go all Rambo First Blood and start making a trap. Well, technically two, but first, the first trap is one of those, you know, like spiked tree branches on a hinge kind of thing. You know, with pointed sticks hanging from it.
Yeah, we get an 80s montage.
Yeah. It's the montage preparing for the final battle montage.
Gotta take a montage.
Yeah.
Montage. Anything where you want to go, from just a beginner to a pro, you need a montage.
Montage.
Always fade out in a montage. Makes it seem like more time has passed when you fade out in a montage. Montage.
So, yeah, we first got the spikes on the hinge and then the ever so popular, you know, Return of the Jedi giant log falling from the sky thing.
Yep, solid.
Yep.
I mean, if it'll take out an ATT, it should take out Predator.
ATST.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Take your nerd card from you.
Nerd!
By the way, so now once he gets the log, then we see the Predator taking his trophy, and it's from the Native American guy.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He grabs the middle of the spine and just rips the whole thing up. And of course, it all comes together with the skull. Like the skull and the spine all intact in one fell swoop, because that's possible.
Yeah, that'll work. It doesn't take a lot of time and cutting effort. You can just do that with brute force and not end up with a whole half skeleton filled with a bunch of dead body parts attached to it still.
Oh, and then we go back to the montage of him still. I don't know what he's doing in this scene. It looks like he's just a lot of tree roots that he's bending over his back. And he's making a bow.
He's making a bow. He's making a flipping bow.
Right, but he's also like stretching these tree roots like over his shoulder. Like he's in the gym.
Yeah.
It's like a bow flex.
Yeah. All part of the montage. Well, I think what he's doing is he's setting up the other two traps.
Right.
The what turn out to be explosive traps.
Because he's taking apart the grenade canister and
yep.
Dumping the black powder out of it.
And then setting up his fire.
All the while we see the Predator is looking over all of his trophies, his nicely polished skulls. You know, doing his best Hamlet imitation.
When you say that you're gonna skull bleep me, are you like just like after
it's a different culture, Pat? All right, we got to be open to different cultures.
Clean it out and like shellac it first.
Well, he did.
I know that's how we figure out what kind of mob action these guys use.
It's obviously very ritualistic and very important to him and his culture. You got to respect that.
Okay. I guess if that's what you have to do with your human skull trophies, then by all means.
It's nice to see you can still grow, Pat.
Look, I'm just not very sympathetic to the killing people and shellacking their skulls cause. I'm sorry. I don't care how culturally important it is.
You're forgetting the important part, you know, the romantic aspect of it. It's not just the one part, Pat. It's the entire thing. The romantic aspect
of it. What is wrong with you?
So anyways, Schwarzenegger's putting mud all over his face, you know.
All right, then. Moving on. Let's move on now, children. Try not to stare too long at the dead bodies.
Schwarzenegger puts a light to his torch and his best Tarzan impersonation does a mighty roar across all of South America that no one lives in.
Yeah, the large swaths in the jungles where the people do not live, because, yeah, why would you?
Yeah, and clearly the predator hears him, and you see him, how his little red light is, is it cleaning or is it just heating his little claws?
As far as I can tell, it's heating, but I don't know. I don't know what this scene is about, to be honest.
Right? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, visually, it's kind of interesting in that sort of, you know, primal, you know, caveman kind of thing, I guess, you know, because Schwarzenegger's all painted up and setting fires and running through the woods at night in the fog.
Yeah. But yeah, why the predator does this thing with his arm thing, I don't know. It's weird because so much of the technology they show the predator using makes practical sense. Like, he has that med kit he uses. He's got his little shoulder gun and he's got this vision system that amplifies his ability to see stuff. Because once we get to his species' natural ability to see things, we see how really terrible their vision really is.
Right. But I mean, that also makes you wonder about, like, okay, so then why, if they've got all this technology, why do you go to such a primitive place? That's like, you know, having end game level weapons on the first level.
Right.
And just farming it because you can.
I mean, it makes you feel like Earth is like this place the young ones will go to, so that they can get a few skulls under their belt, so they can get a little respect, you know. Hey, look, I got 5 skulls. Yay! I can go fight, you know, hunt bigger monsters.
Yeah, I guess. So, sets the fire, starts wandering through the woods, and now we see the predator doing stealth commando jumping.
Stealth commando jumping.
Yep.
Like a spider monkey.
You can see, I guess he's crawling up behind Schwarzenegger.
This is interesting because Schwarzenegger's kind of taking this stance and he's looking down at the fire, you know, and the log over the fire kind of near it. And I guess he set up something possibly to resemble himself. I don't know. He set up a point of interest next to the fire and then he's gone and hit himself in probably what he considered to be the best vantage point,
right,
of looking down at the fire. Well, lo and behold, the predator is a predator. And so he's also
crawling down to the best vantage point.
Yeah. So he gets within a foot of Schwarzenegger, and Schwarzenegger doesn't do nothing.
It almost looks like he's crawling on top of him.
Yeah. It gets very close. Very close.
He crawls past Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger then Tarzan rope jumps over to the tree nearby without being heard and starts stalking the predator as he's crossing this log that's going right past the bonfire. And then Schwarzenegger pulls out his bow and arrow with the explosive on the end of it. And of course, you know, in his rush, which he wasn't really in any rush at all, instead of hitting the predator square on, shoots in front of him, which I guess hurts him a little.
I think that's what he was shooting. He was shooting for the explosive thing on the log, I thought.
Oh, there was an explosive thing on the log?
I thought so.
I thought the arrowhead had the explosive thing on it.
Oh, okay. Well, then he missed. And he hit in front of him. Yeah. Granted, if you've ever used a homemade bow and arrow, you know how accurate those things are.
True. So, of course, he misses. So the predator gets his 10 shots to Arnold's 1.
Yeah.
And then Schwarzenegger goes fleeing into the rocks.
Yeah. Can't see Schwarzenegger. It's funny because this is sort of like the same thing we see that Jesse Ventura did, which was just light up the whole thing. You just keep shooting and hopefully you hit him, right?
Right. And then as Schwarzenegger is trying to scurry away, we see that I guess the Predator's cloaking device is malfunctioning, which I wanted to point out before when the Predator was crawling out of the water. Apparently it's not waterproof. Advanced technology can't handle water.
Yeah.
The chase is on now. Schwarzenegger tries to lure him over to his trap. And as he does so, Predator comes crawling after him. Or, well, not crawling after him, but comes chasing after him.
Yeah.
You know, Schwarzenegger gets him to go towards the trap. And, of course, like any good Predator, he sees the trap because he can feel the spikes. And it's like, aha, nope, F you.
Wait, I feel like we jumped ahead, like, to the...
Oh, did we?
There's a part where Schwarzenegger throws a rock to try and the Predator still can't see him. So he throws a rock to the side. And the Predator shoots the rock, but then his like targeting rectangle triangulates where the rock came from, and he shoots Schwarzenegger. But Schwarzenegger has another explosive arrow or spear. He's got a spear.
Yes, he's got a spear. He's got an explosive spear. And
that time he actually gets the Predator, because after this point, the Predator's bleeding.
Right.
And so Schwarzenegger is trying to find is hunting him down, if I remember correctly.
Right.
He's following his blood trails, and he follows him into a cave, if I remember right.
Yes, it is a very enclosed space. He's following his green fluorescent blood.
Yes.
And follows him into this cave. And then the Predator comes up behind him, and Schwarzenegger is able to throw his other little bag of explosive in his face, so that way he can't see him for 5 seconds, and then Schwarzenegger goes running for his life, ends up falling into the water. So what does that mean? That means his mud camouflage is gone now.
Yep. So neither of them are camouflaged anymore.
Right. And then as Schwarzenegger is trying to crawl out of the water this time, Predator jumps on top of him and decides to hold him in place by placing his little claws on either side of his neck.
Yeah.
And then he picks him up and it throws him up against a tree, and he's holding him above the ground. Now that's the impressive part, because he's holding Schwarzenegger, 6 foot whatever, you know, 200 something pounds of pure muscle, up against a tree off the ground.
This is the first time we really get a feel for how big the Predator is.
Right.
Really.
And strong.
He's got to be 7.5, possibly 8 feet tall, because he's effectively holding Schwarzenegger at shoulder height for him in one hand.
Right. One hand.
And Schwarzenegger's feet are about a foot off the ground. And Schwarzenegger's not a short man.
No.
And he's able to hold 250, somewhere around there, pounds with one hand at shoulder height, and basically just intimidates the crap out of
him. Right. And it's at this point, like you mentioned earlier, is where he starts checking his skull out.
Yeah.
And then he puts him down, steps 10 feet away, turns around, and then I guess decides he's going to physically beat the crap out of him. He's taken out 2 air hoses on one side, and then he takes on the same side, takes off the shoulder gun, and then takes off the hoses on the other side, and then takes off the mask.
Yeah.
And then comes the line that is uttered at least in the first 2 Predator movies. I'm pretty sure it's said in all of the others. When the Predator takes off his mask, the hero goes, "You are one ugly mother."
yeah one of the final one-liners we get out of this. You are, yes, one ugly mother, because just the way the cadence of that is what makes it iconic, the way it's said, not just what he said. And you know, the reveal of the Predator is interesting. You see the Predator's vision goes to this all red, which would actually kind of indicate that their vision is heat based, because everything is now red, including Schwarzenegger.
Right.
He's got these 4 talon things that go across his face. Yeah, pincers. And then he's got teeth, right? A mouth with teeth in it behind that.
Right.
So you have to assume the pincers are there to hold your prey in place while you eat it, which maybe means they, you know, evolutionarily evolved to eat their prey while they were still living. I don't really know. It's interesting that the, you know, they have the two eyes facing forward. So that's like a number one predator evolutionary thing, right? Like you look at predator and prey species. Prey species tend to have their eyes more to the side so they can see more of their surroundings. Predators are forward, which is how you know that humans are predators. There's a question about like sense of smell and hearing and like what other senses this thing has. Biologically, it doesn't seem to have the same advanced help that we get from our biology, like our ear lobes.
Right.
That help our ears triangulate like it, because it really does. Like if you lose your lobe, then the sound comes into your ear hole from any direction. Right. And the earlobes actually muffle sound coming from behind us. So it's easier for us to figure out where sound is coming from. And, you know, our nose is kind of protruding from our face. They help do the same thing. This thing's nose is smushed back like a pug, you know, way back at his face.
When I see its face, I kind of think of something like maybe something of like a crab or a spider or something like that.
Which does beg the question as to like, how did this thing end up with four limbs and not six or eight? Because biology loves making crabs slash spiders. It just does. There's these types of creatures exist at many different levels. You know, from very, very small all the way to trash can size.
How did it only end up as bipedal?
Right. Is it, yes. And then how do you end up there? So there's a lot of question marks about like this species makeup. Because interestingly enough, bipedal is not necessarily an evolutionary trait you would think would be associated with higher intelligence. Mm-hmm. Because for the way we humans gestate, primarily in utero, we're not in eggs, and unlike a lot of mammals, we're not born and then go immediately, right? Like we're born and then we take a long time, and that's because our brains are so flipping big. But if you have an animal that has a wider hip span, then you can get a bigger brain and a bigger head.
By the way, I want to point out to our listeners that if you are listening to this, try listening to this segment of this lesson in biology while watching this, because it's really kind of funny to hear a biology lesson while there's a fist fight between Arnold Schwarzenegger and a really weird faced alien going on in the middle of the jungle at night.
And an 8 foot tall. I mean,
like if we could get like a British guy to like, you know, even over voice over us. So there's like two levels of voiceovers here. Yeah. You know, it'd just be amazing.
And what Mr. Mason is alluding to here is the fact that quadruped or perhaps even six or seven legged animals would perhaps produce children that had a higher brain capacity and therefore intelligence. However, what we see here is a predator that is still bipedal, beating the living snot out of Mr. Schwarzenegger, former governor of California.
So funny enough, as we come to the end of this conversation, is when finally the back and forth fight of where clearly Schwarzenegger is getting beat the crap out of by a superior creature.
Like he picks up a log and not a stick. He picks up a log, a small log, but still like a log, and tries to smash the predator with it. And the predator holds up one hand and breaks the log in half. Like it's just like, no, like you don't have the power here. Sorry.
So Schwarzenegger's finally, you know, getting beaten. And so he starts to crawl away back towards the very trap that he meant to use this whole time. Schwarzenegger crawls past his trap and is leaned up against, ready to spring the trap. Predator's like right there. And suddenly he looks around, is like, hey, and starts feeling around with his hand. He's like, hey, this isn't right.
Yeah, it's a trap. All the time, Schwarzenegger screaming at him, trying to convince him to.
Like he's trying to trick a freaking cow into, you know, a slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Come on, do it. Kill me. Come on.
And so the predator decides he's going to go over the trap and pass the trap and bypass it and stand over Schwarzenegger. And Schwarzenegger says, oh, crap, I'm going to die. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot about that second trap, that log from the sky.
Good thing I made that trap in case the other trap didn't work.
And of course, this one does because bam, right in the kisser.
Pow, right in the kisser. Pow, right in the kisser. Pow, right. The kids are literally gets crushed by a lot. And by this time, I mean like full on, full grown tree trunk dropped on him.
Right. Like the Ewoks at the Battle of Endor.
Exactly. Murdering some people. Those Ewoks with their murdering.
So then Schwarzenegger sighs relief because he's like, oh, he's got to be dead. Of course he's dead. Nothing can survive that. And
gonna take another breather here.
And then he hears the predator groaning and gasping like, oh, crap, he's still alive. Well, let me get this big rock to crush his head.
Yep.
Yeah, here we go. Oh, he's like bleeding everywhere. So I'm going to do the thing that doesn't make any sense, which is to not bash its head in. You know, he's killed everyone I've known in the most horrendous way possible, at least for the moment, survived getting a log being crushing his entire body. So I'm just going to toss this rock away and let him bleed to death because, you know, he's not going to do anything that would hurt me, you know.
It's just not even like the merciful option. Like, yeah, I'm going to let you bleed to death. You ugly mother.
Oh, what's this? He's playing Tetris on his little computer? No. As far as I can tell, you know, even though there are clearly weird different symbols on here, I can definitely tell it's a countdown of some kind.
That's a countdown. Those are countdown noises.
And the predator decides he's going to mock Schwarzenegger by imitating the laugh of one of his kills,
which is interesting because this is the part where you learn that the predator, it wasn't the technology he was using to do the noises, like do the, you know, because he mocks Dylan in the same way, right?
Right.
You know, it's like any time, pal, that Max says to him before.
Right.
And he mocks Dylan right before killing him, saying any time, pal. And you realize he's not using like some sort of recording technology and playing it back. He can actually mimic those voices himself. Like it's an innate trait of the predator, of their species, is their ability to which that is impressive because, as we know, you have to have the right equipment to vocalize. And not only that, you have to have the right equipment to mimic other, you know, there are some humans can really, really, you know, they're like mockingbirds. They can mimic almost any noise, but most humans can't. We can do okay. We have lots of onomatopoeias that, you know, can mimic stuff. But this is where you learn the predators, at least this one, possibly the whole species, is able to just flat out like sound like a recording.
Right.
And he just laughs maniacally. it's a little terrifying, to be honest.
Well, it's just like I said, you know, it's one of those, the game is over and you've lost. So what are you going to do? You're going to throw a tantrum and blow everybody up.
Yeah. Right. So like this predator, unlike the rest of them, apparently per the lore, did not care about honor and was kind of a dick, basically.
So he knows it's a countdown. He knows a bomb's going to go off. Schwarzenegger starts taking off, running for the hills. And as the dying predator is laughing, and now you get your super running from an explosion scene.
Yes. It's possibly the most running from explosion scene ever made.
I mean, this is well before Michael Bay movies.
I know, but like, I feel like all of the Michael Bay movies are just, you know, pulling from this one. Like, you have the explosion happen, right? And then you start to see the electrical storm like forming around Schwarzenegger as he's running. And then the multiple other explosions happening and the blue fire. And like, it's like the slow progression to the most overtop explosion you're ever going to run away from. I mean, this is bigger than a building like exploding.
Well, you know, and the helicopter's affected and whatnot. Yeah. And you're seeing this giant mushroom cloud, and yet somehow, as the helicopter searching the area, standing amongst the rubble is our hero, Arnold Schwarzenegger, just covered in dust. He could survive any nuclear explosion. He doesn't need a refrigerator.
Like other some men who wear hats.
You people want to mock the lead lined refrigerator, but not this.
I mean, they probably mock this too. I mean, I mock both of them. Okay, let's say the lead like protects him from the radiation. Fine. Just like Iron Man, the fall kills him.
That all of Indiana Jones is like kind of ripping off of 1950s comic books, right? When that kind of stuff was how it worked. I mean, it wasn't like the comic books of that era made it realistic.
That's Iron Man, right? Like, he fell 8 stories in a giant metal suit and hit sand. He's still alive because of the suit. Like, no, that's not how that works.
The Fonz did something so ridiculous as jumping the shark that is what we've referred to it up until the Indiana Jones thing.
he jumped the refrigerator.
we're going off on tangent here because we're reaching the end here, but this is a conversation we're going to have at some point.
Yeah, at some point we'll talk about Indiana Jones. Well, Jones for the Jones, the Jones brothers, the Jones boys, those Joneses. Keep it up with the Joneses. All right.
Feel good? You got that out of your system?
Yeah, I do feel good.
Yeah, probably as good as Schwarzenegger does, having survived a nuclear explosion.
Yeah. And lo and behold, within the chopper, we see our general from the beginning, or colonel, or whatever the heck he is.
Yep. Our intro guy, who seems to be alive, if I was seeing that right. So we got the pilot, we got the black co-pilot, we got the general, we got the girl.
And that's it.
And they go flying off into the dawn. Yeah, he survived the night.
Yeah, he survived the night.
Yeah, he survived the night.
Fly off into the dawn, and then you get the cards.
Oh.
Basically.
For you folks, you know, while we were forgetting the names, the Native American guy's name is Billy.
That's right. It's not Johnny. It's Billy.
and you can tell because this was done in the very A-team-esque kind of credits where you get the picture of the guy, his character name, and then the actor who played him.
Yep.
For at least the big guys, all the way up to Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger being the last guy.
Yep.
Yeah, that is Predator.
So concludes the Predator. Final thoughts of the fat man.
I don't know. I mean, in the Alien universe, I still think Alien is a much better movie.
Oh, yeah.
This was definitely Schwarzenegger action flick. I think he left the set of this movie and went straight over to Commando. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm already in the fatigues. I've got the war paint on. Let's do this.
Let's just keep shooting.
All right, let's just keep on rolling. Yeah, if you're into action movies like we did, Escape from New York, that kind of thing, you know, it's fun.
I have to assume our patrons are, because they keep choosing these movies. So if you want to know whose fault it is, it's the people who pay us. If you want us to watch something else, become a patron. We will do what you say.
It was fun. And, you know, hey, oftentimes movies are supposed to be fun. They're not supposed to be huge blockbusters. Good casting. It was interesting. I want to see the budget because, boy, I want to know how much money they had for this movie, because those special effects had to be massively expensive.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's, well, yeah, no. Yeah, no, I think about it.
There's a lot of computer work in there.
Yeah, everything with the Predator had to be massive. I assume there's a lot of ILM stuff on this, because that was their heyday.
Right.
1980. So, yeah, what's crazy to me, from this movie and from Alien, you get Spawn's a cinematic universe. Before that's a thing, mm-hmm. You have this, which is then followed by Predator 2, right, with Danny Glover.
Yep.
That takes place in L.A. Yep. In, you know, a version of L.A. that is both very true to our times, but also very not. And it's kind of fun to watch that first 10 minutes and just think about that. And in that movie, Danny Glover's character makes it onto the Predator ship, and that's where we get the first crossover piece where he sees the xenomorph skull. And from that point, we get the connection between the world, the universes, which is also because of Promethean connected to, oh shoot.
Well, I just thought Prometheus connected to the first Alien movie.
Well, Prometheus did connect to the first Alien movie, but it also connected in a different movie set. Blade Runner. Yeah, Prometheus brings Blade Runner into the same universe as well.
Really?
Yeah, so if you look at some of the extras on the Prometheus disc, if you get one of the discs or whatever, you know, that's technology still exists. But if you look at some of the extras, there is a recorded conversations between Waylon and the founder of the Blade Runner.
Tyrell,
yeah. They were contemporaries, and there's this extra on the disc that talks that Waylon talks about meeting with his friend Tyrell and discussing the vagaries of making human-like creations and Tyrell's attempts with the replicants versus the androids you have made by the Waylon company, right? They're competitors, basically, is what he's alluding to, and the difference in what they decided to create. Basically, Predator 2 brings the Predator movies into the Alien universe, which at first is just the first three movies, Alien, Aliens, and Aliens 3. And then you get Aliens Resurrection. And by that time, you have Aliens versus Predator. The Predator came out, and then Predators. And I want to say Predators 2. I don't think I made that one up, but I may have. Which you do have two AVPs, Alien versus Predators, if I remember correctly, as well as the new line of Alien movies, which is Prometheus, Covenant, and then now Romulus.
Yes.
And then, of course, we have the two Blade Runner movies. Effectively, they had a cinematic universe that started in the 1980s with the two movies, Alien and Predator. And it blows my mind that this was like the beginning.
Quality wise, though, Alien and then Predator are two very different quality movies. I mean, budget wise, cinematography wise, very different.
And they're very different things.
Yes.
Alien is a sci-fi thriller.
Where at the end, it's a sci-fi thriller slash horror, because at the end of Alien, really, there's only one survivor. They're both had survivors.
It's Ridley and the android.
Well, no, the android doesn't survive in Alien.
Oh, that's right. In Alien. Yeah, it's just Ridley. Yeah.
Ridley and the cat, Jones.
That's right. I knew there was some other creature. It wasn't just Ridley.
And this one is Schwarzenegger and like a whole little task force. But I got to say, the tempo after each one, the feeling after Alien was more of, I survived the threat, but I may not survive. You know, it was very much darker than like this one. This one was a little more, the future is bright as we set off into the dawn.
Going off into the dawn, yeah. So, yeah, decent action movie, fun 80s film. You want to see Jesse Ventura at his most muscular, as well as Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers, all pretty much at the height of their muscularity.
Yes.
And showing it off.
Yes. If you go and look on TikTok, you'll find interviews where Carl Weathers talks about how anytime someone would try to go in for a workout, Schwarzenegger would get there before them. He was like, if somebody tried to go in at 6 a.m., Schwarzenegger was there at 5. One morning, Carl Weathers, you know, decides he's going to be really smart, and he gets there at like 4 a.m. And Schwarzenegger walks in, you know, an hour later at 5 and realizes that Carl Weathers had beaten him there. This upsets Schwarzenegger. Like, apparently he really upset about it. And so I think he just got competitive, and like, they ended up doing this really big workout and tried to break Carl Weathers, and he did in the end, you know, and it just hurt. And so Carl Weathers is like, yeah, no, never doing that again.
Yeah, I don't need to go up against a Mr. Universe in a workout competition.
Yeah, and to be fair, the only reason Carl Weathers did it was because he was trying to make sure that on screen his muscles would look in at least some way in the same league as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He had to make sure that meme, you know, when it was developed 20 to 25 years later, looked as spectacular as it possibly could have. And it does.
Right.
It does. If you're going to meme anything from this movie, that's probably the one to go with. But there are a fantastic number of one-liners, as I've said all the way through. And while I will definitely say not Carl Weathers' greatest showing, it is possibly one of his best known.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that wraps us up on Predator. We'd like to thank our patrons for picking the show and for giving us monthly contributions so we can make this show. Every little bit goes a long way. And if you think that maybe we made you laugh or entertained you a little bit, that we could use a dollar a month, or possibly even more, head over to patandthefatman.com and click on the Patreon button. That'll take you to Patreon. You can sign up. You can sign up to be a fan or a big fan or a really big fan. You get access to all of our content over there, which we make specialty for that and release about one of those a year on the main podcast. So if you're not on Patreon, you are missing out on a lot of content. We have not made as much as we would have liked to have made at this point, but we still have made quite a bit at this point. The entirety of a season of Mandalorian.
Yes.
we've reviewed, and so we're picking our next thing.
We got to do the accolade, don't we?
We don't have to. We can, though.
We can do. I mean, we've done The Mandalorian, so.
Yeah.
The Skeleton Crew coming up shortly.
We could do Skeleton Crew. So that may be our next thing, but we'll let you know.
You'll definitely be good with that because it's definitely going to be a family thing.
Yeah, but depending on its rating, I might watch it with the kids because I've been doing that with a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff I review on other podcasts. Not so much on this one. We've never done real kid stuff on this one. Hey, remember, we have a website, patandthefatman.com, where you can become a patron. Please become a patron. All of our money goes to editing the show. And we are on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. So check us out. Follow us. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Anybody you meet on the street, tell about us. Get the word out. We appreciate it. And thanks for joining us for this episode of Pat the Fat Man. And I am Pat.
And I am the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. The chopper. Get to them. The chopper. Chopper. Get to the chopper. Run. Get chopper to the chopper. Run.